Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. We are continuing in the book of Luke, and today's chapter is Luke chapter 6. Let me read this for us before I share some thoughts here. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him. How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. In those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples, and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, and to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. As it has been so far throughout the book of Luke, this chapter is jam-packed. And this time, a lot of it is packed with teachings from Jesus. And if you've read through the gospel accounts before, you might recognize that many of these teachings are actually very similar to what we often refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, which we also see a lot more prominently in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Now, we don't have the time to go through every single teaching in our chapter today, but let me just focus on what we see in verses 27 through 36. If you're reading from the ESV, as I just did, you'll see that the editors have this subtitled as Love Your Enemies, which makes sense because that's the main idea of these verses, and it's also taken directly from what Jesus commands us to do in verse 27. Love your enemies. He says to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who abuse you, to turn the other cheek if someone strikes you, and to give everyone who begs from you. If you've been in the church for even just a little while, you probably recognize these teachings. And in some ways, it can be really easy to just kind of skim past it as basic Christian stuff. Like, okay, sure, love people. And it's true, it's quite basic, fundamental to the Christian faith. But I would also say that when you really think about it, this command to love your enemy is actually pretty radical. Over the last several years, I've seen different terms tossed around to describe certain aspects of our society. Outrage culture, cancel culture, call out culture. Those are just a few that come to mind. What's a common thread among these is that there seems to be this tendency among many people to immediately react with some level of outrage or anger to an event or a person or just even an opinion that might seem counter to their own. It could be related to politics, matters of social justice, or even things as seemingly harmless as personal preferences. Whatever it is, what we often see in society, and maybe even within our own immediate communities or circles, is a tendency to immediately call out or even reject and push away those who seem quote-unquote other. There is a drawing of lines where I or we, you know, those in my group, my tribe, are those who are right and good, while those other people, while they are wrong or even bad. Our society often seems to view the world in these black or white terms, where we immediately vilify those with whom we disagree or those who appear to oppose us. It's in this kind of cultural climate, even in this cultural climate, that Jesus teaches us to love our enemies. I mean, what a radical teaching. He calls us not just to be nice to them, but to love them, to do good to them, pray for them, to serve them, treat them as we would want to be treated ourselves. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think we see this, at least not very naturally, though, in the world around this, maybe even in our own lives. And in fact, this seems very difficult, if not impossible, to do. But that's what Jesus teaches us to do. He calls us to do this. And not only does he teach us to do this, he showed it to us again and again. Yes, he sought to teach and correct those who are in the wrong, but he never sought vengeance. And ultimately, we know that he gave his life to those who opposed him. As Paul writes in Romans 5:10, we were reconciled to God through Jesus while we were still enemies. And this act of reconciliation wasn't this half-hearted, begrudging thing. Scripture tells us that he loved us even while we were still enemies. From this, we can see that loving everyone, including our enemies, and showing grace to those around us is the way of Jesus. And this is not only good for us because it just makes us quote-unquote good people, it actually has the potential to show others the way of Jesus and transform the world around us. Because this way of living is so countercultural, especially in our present day and age, by turning the other cheek, by blessing those who curse us, by loving our enemy, we're able to show others the way of Jesus. Now, I say all of this, and I do want to clarify that it's not simply about being a doormat to all people in society. It's not about people-pleasing or simply just remaining silent at all times. I do believe that there are times when it's within reason to be upset or to take a stand for things. I believe that there are times to speak up and share our thoughts or to take action on certain matters. But the heart behind all of this is not simply to be right or to prove others wrong. It's to love. And the most loving thing we can do is to consistently point others to Jesus. Not many of us may think we have enemies. That might seem like a very strong term, but I'm pretty sure we do have people we disagree with, maybe from time to time, or maybe just all the time. And then, of course, there may be people who have hurt us at some point in the past or have tendencies to annoy us or, you know, people we want to distance ourselves with because we just don't like them very much. And then there might be certain groups of people, people with certain beliefs or ideologies that we just can't seem to understand. And therefore, again, we other them and we push them away. With all these people, you may not consider them to be your enemy, but at the same time, you may want to keep them apart from you and may even vilify them. Can we learn to love these people just as Jesus commanded us here? Again, not in a self-righteous way by any means, but loving them just as Jesus did. Can we learn to be patient, kind, and full of grace? Can we learn to do all of these things so that these quote-unquote enemies would come to recognize the love and grace of God? Again, I think this is a very challenging command, but let's pray that we would grow in this way. Let's pray that as the Holy Spirit is working in us, we'd increasingly be able to love our enemies and show grace to those who do not show us any. Let's pray that through this, we might increasingly become more like Jesus and simultaneously that others would see this and would come to know him as well. With that, let me pray to wrap up this Devo this morning. Father, we thank you that you showed us the perfect example of loving your enemies. You loved us to the end, where you gave your life for us. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would help us to grow in this way, that we can model this love to those around us, not just to those who we like, who are nice to us, but even to those who are difficult to love. We need your help to do this, God. We know it's not going to work by our own efforts. And so we surrender to you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to love in this way. So we thank you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.